Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
It is so great to have you all here joining us for church today. Church a little bit different, we're honest, but hey, if we go back a couple of years, this was quite normal, wasn't it? How thankful we are to be able to get back in person these days. Now, yes, our men are away on men's camp at the moment, but we're still going to hear from the Word of God today, and I'm excited to share with you what I believe God has given for us as a church. I just want to make a couple of things known to you before we start. It is not a mistake that you're listening to this today. God knows all things, and He has ordained that you would be here hearing this today. So whether you're watching it or you're listening to it, no matter what date that is, whether it's live with us this Sunday morning or whether that's in the future, God has a word for you in this season. He is real and He is close to us. And when we talk about Christianity, I want you to understand that Christianity is not just a set of beliefs that we have. We don't just look at the Bible and we think about all these things or all these things people say or these opinions that Christians might have. It's not just a set of beliefs. Christianity is about a relationship with God, a God who is real, a God who created us and created us not just so that we can serve Him, but so that we can have relationship with Him. And we're going to talk about that in the message today. It really is incredible when you think about it. Now, coming up next week, I want to let you know that next week in church, we are starting a brand new series. It's called The Spirit Realm. I'm really excited. I believe that this is a God-given time for us to go through this series. We're going to run for 4 weeks, and we are going to look at everything to do with the spiritual realm, heaven and hell, angels and demons. How does that impact us in the real world today? And I would encourage you to join us over the next 4 weeks as we see what the Word of God says about these things. So let's, before we dive in, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much that You are indeed with us. We thank You that as we come around Your Word this day, around Your Scriptures, around Your Bible, Lord God, it is not just words on a page, but it is able to come alive for us by the power of Your Holy Spirit at work to bring revelation to us, to see our lives changed and transformed. So we love You. We honor You. We thank You for all that You are doing in our lives, and we ask You to continue to have Your way in Jesus' name. We all said, amen. All right, let's get into it. If you haven't got your Bible with you or a notepad, I encourage you to grab that out. Press pause, come back later. A few months ago, well, about 8 months ago, actually, our family had a new addition to our household, this dog called Maisie. She is a Groodle. And we'd had dogs previously, but after having a pet-free home for a number of years, we decided to dive back into the pet household. But before that happened, there was a conversation that Cass and I needed to have with each other. We needed to speak carefully about whether this was the right timing to actually get another dog into our household or not, whether this was the right type of dog, other practical things that we had to consider. And I want to admit, when we had those conversations, I actually didn't see the bigger picture at this time. There were different thoughts that I had about the prospects of getting a dog and bringing a dog into our home. Number one, dogs cost money. They do, especially new dogs. And I didn't enjoy having to make extra provision in our budget for this new dog. It was something that I felt the pressure of at that point in time. It wasn't a focus for me. Number two, dogs have the potential to do damage to property. Our other two did a little bit here and there. They were pretty good. But touching up this and fixing up that, they were things that I needed to do. And I didn't know whether I was ready to have that happen to us again. And number three, dogs require cleaning up after. Any dog owners at home, you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes they make a mess, and hopefully not in the house, although puppies do. And then when you get outside, you've got to clean up the mess outside as well. If only they knew how to use the toilet, am I right? But anyway, there were all these things, and it was safe to say that I wasn't as comfortable about getting a dog as maybe she was at that point in time. But flip over to her side of things, and these were the things that she was thinking about. She acknowledged those things, but she was also thinking that this is a great educational thing for our kids. We have three young kids at home, and for them to have a puppy and see what it was like to actually train a dog and be responsible for a dog was actually a really good thing for them to be a part of. Very true. Secondly, our dogs that we had beforehand, they brought great joy to our family. They were great friends of ours, and there was no reason to believe that this would be any different coming into this circumstance. But perhaps the number one reason, the purpose that she would see behind having this dog in our home was so that we could have a relationship with this dog, to have the experience of a canine companion. And maybe you at home have some pets. Maybe it's cats, maybe it's dogs, maybe it's birds or whatever it is. There's different levels on that scale, I know. But if you've had a dog as a companion, you know there is a relationship that naturally you build with that animal. You play with them, you walk with them, you sit with them, you spend time with them. Some people sleep with them. Not in our house. But some people, that's the relationship they have with their dogs. But all of that aside, the main point for that is relationship. And to get back to what we're talking about today, you and I have been offered the opportunity to be a part of the family of God, to have a purpose. And it's not just our purpose is to receive what He has to give for us all the time. And sometimes we can think that God is just there to give us what we need in our times of need. It's part of it. It's not the whole purpose. Our purpose is not simply to serve Him in all ways that He's asked of us, but that's part of it. It's not simply even about just obedience. That's not our purpose, is to be obedient to God. And nor is the time that we spend here as Christians on earth simply a pathway for us to get to heaven. Being in the family of God is about being created for relationship with Him. All the other things come, but God's greatest desire for us is to have relationship with Him. And it's not just any type of relationship that He desires. God desires, and this is so incredible to think about, that the God of the universe not only desires a relationship with you and I, but He desires an intimate relationship with you and I. It is incredible to think about. And so the title of my message today, if you want to write notes down, if you're doing that, is called An Invitation to Intimacy. A number of years ago, I had a conversation with a young man who was wrestling with purpose. He had grown up with Christian parents and had been in church, but at some point he'd begin to ask the question, why? Not really, why am I here or what's the purpose in life, which in simple terms for us is to give God glory, to glorify Him, is to love Him. But his question was more about, why did God create humanity in the first place? What is it that led God to create human beings? And I don't know if you've ever asked that question, God, why humans? Why in the way that you have? You and I have been created by God for relationship. That's what our reason for being here is. It wasn't that He needed us. God didn't need us for love, so that we could love Him. God didn't need us so that He would feel more adoration from us giving Him that adoration. God didn't create us just so that we would, because He needed the worship from us, or so that we would serve Him. God created us so that we can have relationship with Him. In Acts 17, verses 24 to 25, it says this: He is the God who made the world and everything in it. Since He is Lord of heaven and earth, He doesn't live in man-made temples. Verse 25, and human hands can't serve His needs, for He has no needs. He Himself gives life and breath to everything, and He satisfies every need. God created you and I that we might encounter the joy of knowing intimacy with Him, our Creator. Crazy. It really is. Like, honestly, it's an incredible thing to think about. He could have done anything, created anything, and yet He decided that you and I would be created for relationship, an intimate relationship. And so what do we mean by intimate relationship? Often we use spatial language when we talk about intimacy. We talk about feeling whether we're close or distant to our friends or to our partner. Are you close with that person or do you feel distant from that person? And in this day and age, where the internet is this thing that we're doing this by, physical proximity has very little to do with the closeness that we actually feel towards people. You can still develop a relationship with someone across the other side of the world and in all essence feel extremely close to that person. And just the same, there are moments where you can be sitting next to someone and even someone that you know quite well and feel quite distant from them. And this is an important determiner when it comes to how we see our own level of intimacy with God. See, our intimacy with God is not spatial, but it is indeed relational. That's how we need to think about it. And I want you to think about the relationships that you have with others at the moment. And you might be sitting next to someone or thinking about someone right now. You may have even a few people in these categories that, first of all, the category is that there is none. There is no relationship. You don't know them at all. Well, you may know of them, but there's actually no relationship. The second category, think about the people in this one. They're what you'd call an acquaintance. You've met, but there's little investment into the relationship from your end. Number three, it's friendly. You know, we get on well, we're happy to hang out and maybe eat a meal, but we're not going to get into anything really deep with them. It kind of stays a little bit surface level, the friendly relationship. The fourth one is the close friend. And this is someone who you share the highs and lows of life with, that you enjoy investing time into the relationship you have with that person, and you end up rubbing off on one another. It's a really cool thing to see. And it lasts for many years, these close friendships that we have. And we have a few of those that we can in our lives. And the fifth one, though I'm sure you guess, is the intimate relationship. This is where the deepest levels of life are shared. Do you have an intimate relationship with someone? Think about that person. Time spent together with this person, it changes you. And you in turn change them just by simply spending time with them. There is a closeness that is unparalleled with any of those other categories, anyone else in there. For married couples, this would be your husband or your wife, where you get to go to those deep levels with in more ways than one. So I want to ask you a question today. At what level is your relationship with God at right now? Maybe it's none. Maybe you're beginning that journey. Maybe to you, God is simply an acquaintance. Or maybe you're friendly with Him. You get along and you're happy to be with Him at times, but it only goes to a shallow level. Maybe God is a close friend to you. Maybe you do have a relationship with Him. Or do you have an intimate relationship with Him, the deepest of the deep, unparalleled with anyone else? What level is your relationship with God at right now? Maybe for you it was intimate in the past, but now it's dropped back a couple of notches, maybe as different things have come up in life. I don't know. But whatever the case is, I want to remind you today that God's desire for His relationship with you is intimacy. Let's look at what the Bible says about that. In Revelation 3:20, it says this, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and eat with him and he with me." This is to a church, right? A church in the book of Revelation to the church of Laodicea, who is described in that passage as being lukewarm. They were a lukewarm church, neither hot nor cold. And God says, "I want to spit you out of my mouth." What it was actually was a call from God to this church to actually go all in, to accept God's gifts, to accept His correction and His discipline at the same time, to be diligent with regard to that and turn in their relationship towards Him. And this is God's call to all of us today. And perhaps right now, as you're here or you're listening to this, this is God's call to you today, is this. I stand at the door and I knock. And God is awaiting for you to open that door. God is awaiting for you to open your hearts to be able to go all in with Him. Now, I know right now there is a lot of stirring that's going on. A lot of people's hearts are being stirred towards God. Is that what He's doing to you right now? Calling you towards Himself to go all in. Let's look at what the psalmist says about the open heart that we've talked about. In Psalm 73, 28, it says, "But as for me, how good it is to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my shelter, and I will tell everyone about the wonderful things that you do." And if you're after some bonus reading after the message today, I want you to check out James 4 and read the whole of James 4. And James is looking at the tension between the relationship we have with the world versus the relationship we have with God. Have we let our experiences, the pleasures of this world, take over the intimate relationship that we have with God in our lives? And look what he says in James 4 verse 8. It says, "Come close to God." And what's the response? "And God will come close to you." And then we sometimes hear that portion of the passage often. But look what it says directly after. This is our response. "Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts. For your loyalty is divided between God and the world." And if our loyalty is divided, then that's our instruction, is to clear our hands, is to purify our hearts, and be single-track minded towards God. It's a challenge, but something that we can all work on and work towards. See, intimacy with God just doesn't just come from proximity to Him in a physical sense. It comes via the submission of our hearts before Him. Let me say that again. Intimacy with God doesn't come just from proximity with regard to a physical sense. It comes from the submission of our hearts towards Him. If you want to have an intimate relationship with God, He requires all of your heart. Intimacy is not just friendship. It is way deeper than that. And it requires that deeper level. It requires that vulnerability. It requires more investment into it. God is calling you to more. Cass and I have had the privilege, so it really has been a pleasure, of doing marriage counselling with a number of couples over the years now, prior to their wedding. And there are many different subjects that we look at in marriage counselling. We look at communication, we look at conflict resolution, we look at financial management, we look at sexual expectations even, we look at things like partner styles and habits and relationship roles. And there's a swath of different things that we look at. And the purpose behind pulling apart each one of those is to make sure that there are no areas of potential division in a relationship. There are no points of tension that we haven't spoken about in a healthy environment to avoid getting there to the heat of the argument, and we haven't spoken about these things before. It really is just a mountaintop thing, but there is major purpose behind it. See, we might... each one of us have a different thought about how much money to spend on pets in a relationship. That might be a cause of tension. So let's talk about it with some other people and talk about it and get it out the way so it's not a point in tension. At the same time, there are things in our lives that can be a hindrance, like these topics, to our intimacy with God. And here are a couple of things that I want us to know. I've got two things, basic things that I want us to remember. If we're looking to be in a more intimate relationship with God, here are a couple of hindrances that we need to know about. Number one is, I want you to know that intimacy is more than knowledge. Intimacy with God cannot be achieved through just the accumulation of knowledge. We must know critical things, crucial things about our own walk with God. It is so important. Look at what it says in John 8, verses 31 to 32. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So it is that truth that actually sets us free. And knowing that truth is a requirement to enter into that freedom that we may have. We need to know. And so knowledge is not something that we just disregard completely, but we need to understand that intimacy is actually more than that knowledge. You know, we live in a society today, in a day and age, and a society really, where freedom with regard to our accumulation of knowledge is at a really, really high level. For you to find any Bible passage that you want, it is as simple as typing it into Google. Or if you want to find some preaching on the subject of this, there are so many sermons out there. There are so many so much access to biblical study, or millions of books really in your pocket, or worship music, or it's all out there right now. Media, if you're part of LMC here, so much content on there. We have so much. Someone will read you the Bible nonstop from your phone if you want. Like, it's everywhere. And what a wonderful thing. Like, we are so thankful to have that kind of access to the Word of God. But we need to also understand that accumulation of this and simply hearing that content in and of itself is not the pathway to intimacy with God. I want you to hear about this man in the Bible called Enoch. Now, Enoch was Noah. It was his great-grandfather. And in the genealogy listed in Genesis 5, the Word makes this little extra point about this man, Enoch. I want you to read it with me in Genesis 5, verse 24. It says, Enoch lived 365 years, walking in close fellowship with God. And then look what happened. Then one day, he disappeared because God took him. Now, what do you mean? What do you mean, Andy? What do you mean he took him? Is he gone? Like, did he die? What do you mean by that? Well, we get some further clarification here in Hebrews chapter 11. Let's read that. Hebrews 11, 5. It was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him, it says. For before he was taken up, this is the part, he was known as a person who pleased God. He was known as a person who pleased God. Why? Because in Genesis 5:24 it says he walked in close fellowship with the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that Enoch doesn't know the Word of God to that point, but it was so much about the close fellowship that he had with the Lord that caused the Lord to be pleased with him. And contrast this to what Jesus says to the religious leaders of his day, who were known, really, for committing more scripture to memory than anyone. They knew their Bibles like no one else, you know, these religious leaders. And here's what Jesus says in John 5, 39 to 40. It says, you search the scriptures because you think they give you eternal life, but the scriptures point to me, and yet you refuse to come to me to receive this life. In their circumstance, knowledge was almost the other end. Knowledge itself was not synonymous to intimacy. Intimacy of relationship. I heard it said this way. Biblical knowledge is far better than gold when it fuels our trust in God, because then it fuels our intimacy with God. But when biblical knowledge replaces our trust in God, it only fuels our pride. And that's what we saw. So it's one thing to get in and to know all of what the Word of God says about all these different things, but knowledge itself is not what leads to intimacy. And you might be saying, Andy, what are you saying? You're saying I shouldn't read my Bible? You shouldn't say, oh, that shouldn't be a goal? Not at all. Not at all. You should read your Bible, and you should read it more than probably what you're reading right now. I'm going to put myself in that boat too. But that in itself as a goal is not the point. The point is relationship with God. He wants you to have revelation of what His Word says. He wants you to have revelation of the love that you read about as you open those pages. He wants you to have revelation of His love for you as you read that what Jesus did for you. It is not just about knowing the words. It's about knowing the Word in our hearts, that it might bear fruit in our lives when it comes to our intimacy with God. And so what are you saying? You're saying it's about me feeling closer to God. It brings me to this point number two. It says that I'm saying this, intimacy is more than the feels. Intimacy with God is not subjective to having the right experiences. And we can sometimes fall into this trap where we are chasing the experience. We think the only way to be close to God is a time of worship at church specific to us with a certain song, and it just overwhelms us in that moment. And we have a beautifully, aesthetically pleasing time at home with God, and we think that's the moments that we feel closest to God, or we are intimate with God. And I want us to fall in the trap of believing that that is the only way to be close to God, is by building the right environment for us to be in, because it's not about that as well. See, even the proximity to God's power alone in a meeting is not intimacy with God. Intimacy with God is not inherently about the feels. Now, I want to acknowledge that it can certainly be part of it. There are some moments that I've had with my wife, sitting down, having a romantic meal that feels lovely. There are times where we've taken a stroll hand in hand and walked along some beautiful scenery, and it is a beautiful thing. The feels are real, right? And the feels are good. But our love for each other is not, the level of our love for each other is not determined by the beauty of that moment for us. It's not all about the feels. I've even had times with God where His presence, I could tell that the tangible presence of God was there, and honestly overwhelming me. And I want to have more of those moments. I absolutely love being in the presence of God. But those moments aren't the only thing that I use to evaluate the level of intimacy I have with Him. Cass and I don't go on a romantic stroll on the beach every day, as much as we might like to. But it's all right, because our love and devotion for each other isn't reliant on those feels moments. God's invitation to intimacy, it includes time in His presence. It includes beautiful moments where nothing in the physical matters. And it includes the study and the devotion and the committing to memory of His Word, drawing us close to Him as we trust and obey Him through every season. It includes all of those things, but it's not limited to one portion alone. God wants not only the intellectual part of our hearts, He wants not only the vulnerable, the feel parts of our hearts, He wants every single part of it, both of those included. So, how do we receive that invitation to intimacy that God has extended to each one of us? You know, as God extends that invitation in His hand, there's actually something that we also exchange as we accept it. And as we say yes to God with that invitation of intimacy, the way we say yes is by saying, "And God, I trust You. I actually trust You." See, the deeper you go with someone in your life, the greater level of trust needs to be extended. They go hand in hand. Our evidence to God in the way that we trust Him is found by the way that we pursue Jesus and His teaching. See, we draw near to God through faith in Christ, because it's through Christ that we have access to the Father in the first place. Let's see what it says here in the Word, in Hebrews 4, 14 to 16. "So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin." So, this is the invitation. "So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive His mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most." That is a promise to you from the Lord as you follow Jesus. Let's look at what it says in Hebrews 7, 25. "Therefore He is able, once and forever, to save those who come to God through Him. He lives forever to intercede with God on their behalf." Jesus, the pathway to relationship with the Father. Let's see what it says in Philippians 3, 9. "I no longer count my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with Himself depends on faith." Church, it is not about knowledge alone. It is not about the feels alone. It is only by our faith in Jesus Christ that we can have an intimate relationship with our Father God. All praise, all glory to Him. Look at what it says in Hebrews 11, 6. "And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to Him must believe that God exists and that He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. Our God searches for those whose trust is in Him. God has created us for intimacy with Him, not just for a relationship, but for an intimate relationship with Him. He has given us His Son that might be possible in the first place. Therefore, a life of intimacy with God is available to every single one of us. As with any married relationship, there are times where evaluation is required. And in my marriage with Cass, my goal for us is that every year that goes on, we have grown in our love for one another. We have grown when it comes to the depth of our intimacy with one another. Our intimacy will only increase over time because we are intentional about ensuring that that happens. How? By evaluating different areas in our lives. We evaluate the amount of quality time that we have together. Not just the amount of time, but the amount of quality time we have. We evaluate some of the stresses that we have on our life, where our lives can be out of balance in different ways. We've got to take some time, take a stock take of our lives and evaluate that. We evaluate whether we're growing spiritually. We think about that and put a plan in place. Are we on common ground when it comes to our finances? We talk about that. And here's a statement that I want you to dwell on when it comes to your own evaluation of intimacy with God. And I mean, it's one thing to hear a message and hear the Bible, but then we want to do something with that. And here's what I want you to consider. This statement here. What you must trust God most for right now is where He means for you to draw closer to Him. What area is there in your life where God is calling you to trust in Him to a greater extent right now? Maybe difficult circumstances. It may be health concerns. Maybe relational issues. Maybe financial issues. What area is there where God needs you, is calling you to trust in Him? Because it's through that process that intimacy with Him is able to be developed. How is He drawing you towards Himself? And how are we going to respond? One thing I want you to know is today, and this is almost a cautionary statement as we finish up, is to know that this invitation to be intimate with God is one that your flesh, like this body, this sinful flesh that we all are a part of, it's an invitation that your body might want to decline. Or your heart, maybe your mind says, yes, I want to go all in. Yes, I want to become more intimate with God, and I'm going to read more, and I'm going to gain more knowledge, and I'm going to spend more time in worship of Him, those feeling moments, and I'm going to do all these things that I think are going to bring me closer to God. And your flesh is going to say, we're going to go back to what we know. We're going to go to our comfort zone. We're going to go to that pathway of thinking where we're going to find that level of intimacy or that level of purpose in something else, anything else. And your flesh is going to war with you as hard as it can. I want you to look at Paul's encouragement, what Paul says about this very fight in Philippians 3, verses 7. He says this about his own overcoming that. He says, I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared to the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For His sake, I've discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with Him. Praise God for the gift of Jesus Christ for each one of us. That it is by His love and His grace for us that we may then have an intimate relationship with the Father again. And that invitation to intimacy is one for each one of you today. And so how are you going to respond? What area is there for you where you need to trust God more and allow that development of intimacy to happen with Him? And I've got three quick things that perhaps can be a practical outworking for you as you go. Number one, as with our partners sometimes, to develop intimacy, we need to spend time together. How much time do you put aside in your day to spend time with God? I know it's an easy one. I know it's simple. And I know it's probably something you've tried to do before. But I want to encourage you, it's more about the quality of that time than it is the quantity. The quantity comes after the quality is set. And so whether it's a few minutes or it's a half an hour or you can put an hour aside, whatever it is for you, why don't you make a decision to spend more time with God, to develop that intimacy with quality time with Him. Reading plans are a great way to start that. I love putting a song of worship on to just honor Him and allow the song and the words of that song to bring glory to His name as I start those moments. Have you got a list of prayer requests? There's people around you, and I'm encouraging you to pray not just for the needs that you have in your own life, but pray for people that are around you that you know need a touch from Him. Let's get out of our own selves and pray for others, for what God wants to do in them. That is a way to foster that intimacy with God. What is the motivation of your heart in that time? Is it to glorify Jesus? Is it to draw near to Him? Because that is the answer. Secondly, learn God's heart. Learn God's heart for you, that He loves you, that He cares for you, that He wants the best for you. And when the flesh wants to walk the other way, then you will know the truth that as God calls you forward, that He is calling you because He wants the best for you. It is not just about Him removing things from our lives so that we don't live the lives that we want to live. It's about Him removing them and refining us because He knows that is the best, that is the intention, that is the perfect way, that is the best way for us to live, and it brings us closer to Him. And thirdly, I want to encourage you to make Him your first response. When things happen in life and we have challenges, there are certain people that we call, there are certain things that we do or attack to make sure that that outworking is done, but I want to encourage you to make Jesus Christ your first response. And as you do that, you will develop a depth of relationship with Him, perhaps like you've never had before, a level of intimacy with God. God wants to have an intimate relationship with you. The invitation is set, and it is up to you to accept that and walk in that as you trust in Him. Have faith in Jesus. Let me pray for you before we go. Father God, we thank You for the truth of Your word. We thank You that it outlines, Lord, that desire that You have to have relationship with us. And not just any relationship, but an intimate relationship with us. And Father, we want to make a decision and decisions every step of the way to put our trust and our faith in You. Lord God, we ask You to have Your way in us. Have Your way through us, we pray. Let Your will be done. In Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week, and we look forward to seeing you in church next week. God bless.